Hello and welcome to the Generation Wren podcast. My name is Rosie Dutch, a member of the team at Generation Wren. In this episode of the podcast, I'll be speaking to Ben Toomey, Chief Executive of Generation Wren, and Joshua Davies from the Nationwide Foundation, where he's Program Manager for Transforming the Private Rented Sector. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Rosie. Really good to see you and great to have Josh here as well, who I think this is your first podcast. Josh, is that right?
It certainly is, yes. Thanks a lot for having me and inviting me on. Very pleased to be here.
Very pleased to host you as well.
Yeah, very happy to have you. And so the first question I'd like to ask is, what is the situation in the private rented sector at the moment? What is impacting renters most?
From our point of view at Generation Rent, the biggest things for renters right now are around affordability. So how much can you afford your rent, particularly with the rent soaring at the moment to record levels? We're also thinking about how people are able to stay in their home for as long as they want to. So we call that living in a secure home where you have security of renting. And that's basically really under threat as well, because we've got Section 21 evictions, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure, that are happening every 15 minutes. So you're finding people actually being kicked out of their house really often and then struggling to find somewhere else to live because of how unaffordable things are as well. The final thing I just mentioned is the pricing out because of this of really essential workers in different areas. You're seeing key workers such as teaching assistants, roofers, people working in social care as well as carers. They're all being priced out of certain areas in the country, particularly in the capital, London. And if we don't have those people, if we don't have roofers to make sure we have decent homes, if we don't have teaching assistants to give us a good education for our young people, and we don't have care workers to make sure everyone's got good decent healthcare, then basically you're ripping apart communities. And that's how important it is that you get renting right, because for renters, as for anybody, their home can be the foundation of their life. So it's really important that we get on top of the affordability challenge and make sure that people feel safe and secure in their home as well.
So yeah, I think that Ben's made some really great points there. And I think really what Ben has started, sort of hinted at, is that it's not just there being a case of there being one issue. Right now, renters face enormous issues with standards, with security of tenure, with affordability, with so many things. And this has such a severe impact on people's actual lives. There's no security of tenure, which means renters can't put down roots or feel at home, where they might have to move schools, jobs, even maybe become homeless at short notice. They don't know if their rent will increase, which creates stress and anxiety in amongst everything else with costs rising. And on top of all that, standards are poor. Families in the private rented sector are much more likely to live in damp or moldy homes or other problems with standards. And that obviously has a major effect on their health and well-being. And then on top of all that, I'd just like to add that, you know, renters are neglected generally. They struggle to have their voices heard, and they're generally viewed as less important than homeowners, despite there being over 11 million private renters in the UK.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you both make really good points there. It really is a renting crisis. So thank you for speaking about this really important issue. I would really like to move on now to discussing the work of the Nationwide Foundation. Josh, could you explain why the Nationwide Foundation is interested in renting and what the foundation is doing to change renting for the better?
So thanks, Rosie. At the Nationwide Foundation, fundamentally, we want to make sure that everyone has access to a decent and affordable home. We know that a good home is the foundation on which everything else in life is built. And when it comes to private renting, we also know that we can't deny private renters the chance to have a decent life. But as a society at the moment, we're just not living up to that responsibility. So as a foundation, we have grant funding and we can use our own voice to improve private renting for everyone. And we fund projects that help tenants have a voice, to work in communities across the UK to help tenants speak up and be heard. We also fund projects that push for policy change, and we'll come on, I'm sure, to the Rents Reform Coalition in a bit. That those projects are designed to make sure renters can be heard on the national stage and push for the law to change around private renting. And then we also fund research as well to understand what impact policy changes might have and maybe propose new policies that could improve private renting. And so really, fundamentally, we're working to change things throughout the private renting system so that every private renter has access to a safe, secure and affordable home.
Thank you so much, Josh. It's really great, important work that the Nationwide Foundation are doing. And in the private rented sector, as you say, a space that doesn't have previous focus on it. What I'd like to discuss now is the work of the Rents Reform Coalition, which you just mentioned. So the coalition is made up of 20 organisations, one of which is Generation Rent and the Nationwide Foundation. Could you both explain why the coalition is so important and what impact it has on the campaign to reform the private rented sector?
Thanks, Rosie. I think the coalition is exceedingly important in amplifying the voices across the sector that are trying to make a difference for renters, because there's been many organisations, some of them local, some regional, some national, that have been working really, really hard to amplify renters' voices, but also to amplify the needs and experiences of renters to try and get change. So to work together on that, as you say, 20 organisations coming together is so much more powerful than just one. And we're really grateful that the Nationwide Foundation funds that partnership so it's able to be coordinated. Rosie, you've got an idea of how this works because you're a key part of that coalition and helping to coordinate it. So it's really important to us to be part of that group. And we don't always agree on what's right for renters, but the point is we put renters at the heart of what we're doing. They're, you know, a diverse group. Many of us in the coalition are renters ourselves. Many of them are renters unions that bring together a broad cross-section of renters as well in different places. And when we come together, we're basically much stronger. And that's really necessary because of all the things Josh has already said about how renters have felt sidelined, about feeling like a second-class group of people when it comes to influencing policy and influencing laws. So we're very grateful to be part of it.
Yeah, I really agree with what Ben said there. I think one of the great things about working for change in the private rented sector is how many people there already are out there pushing for change, how many different organizations from different perspectives. We all want things to get better, but maybe all want slightly different to get better in slightly different ways. And what the coalition does is bring all those voices together into a coherent group to push for change. So there are already, you know, fantastic tenants unions, campaigning organizations, research organizations. They will get brought together. And as Ben says, we don't always agree on everything. We have different opinions and everything. We've managed to work through those differences and come up with a really clear set of things that we want for the private rented sector. And as Ben's also mentioned, the great thing about the coalition is that it brings the voice of renters to the national stage. So there's some smaller or regional groups that might not be heard otherwise, but those voices, we believe, are just as vital in fixing the problem. We need renters from all walks of life to be heard, to be able to improve the private rented sector. And we've seen across the life of the Renters Reform Coalition, renters becoming more and more active in seeking change. And I was just remembering earlier the great day of action we had earlier this year, where hundreds of renters descended on Westminster from across the country. I think what was the largest demonstration by private renters in the UK. So, you know, just one example of the success of the coalition.
Just that there as well, Josh, I think you make a really good point about how renters in local, different local areas across the country need to have a national voice. And I guess that's one of the reasons renters in the past have been so easy to ignore, because everyone, where you rent is local, isn't it? It's not possible to rent nationally as an individual. And so that means that in your home, it's easy for it to be behind closed doors. It's hidden, it's forgotten by national politicians. And so what this does really is, yeah, bring that through the day of action, through lots of different means and organizations and collaborations, actually brings those renters and their local, they're very hyper-local, that they're experiencing their own home, right into the corridors of power as well. So that's really the value of it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you both there. I think the Renters Reform Coalition is a great project, especially bringing together all of these different voices into one national voice. And I suppose I'm wondering then what about the language around renting, and it's really important the way we speak about renting, especially given how many people's lives it affects. So I want to ask, what are the best ways, do you think, to discuss the private rented sector and the forms and the reforms that are needed? Is there any particular framing that is important to have when discussing the sector or reform?
It's a really interesting point, Rosie. How we talk about homes matters. Basically, as people who communicate around homes, they all have power to tell a story that will build understanding and crucially create support for solutions to make our housing system better. And I think anyone working for social change has probably felt a bit hopeless at times when they've been doing these sort of things. And if we communicate badly, we can maybe exaggerate that hopelessness and not focus on the solutions. And that's why at the foundation, we've also funded a project called Talking About Homes, which is a project that's done research to understand how people actually think about homes in the UK and how to shift the conversation in ways that will lead to positive changes. And they've come up with some key rules to follow. In summary, there is a sort of appeal to people's sense of morality, using the knowledge that as a society, we have a moral responsibility to fix this. And then show what the issue is really about. So get to the root of the problem and then also counter the crisis with causes and, really importantly, solutions. Focus on the change you can achieve. You can find out a lot more by Googling Talking About Homes. And if you're really interested, you could even listen back to this podcast and see how me and Ben have tried to use some of these framing techniques. I know Ben's becoming a bit of an expert.
Thanks, Josh. That's very kind. I've been trying to use, I mean, it's a great resource, the Talking About Homes booklet that people can look up online. It's done by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation. It's another one of the things funded by Nationwide Foundation, as Josh says. But for me, I've used the framing to try and get away from the idea that we have, you know, housing, and we have a market and a sector, a private rented sector, all of these things that feel slightly abstract to the actual experience. You're kind of bringing it back to, as we've said, homes and what homes mean to people, because we're not talking about, you know, the crisp market and, you know, what kind of crisps people like to eat and can they do without or not. We're talking about, as I said earlier, the foundation of people's lives. That's one of the key ways of framing it, is that we talk about the foundation of people's lives. So if you think about what happens in the home and how important it is, it's where we are most productive, many people working from home, but also, you know, pursuing their passions within the home as well. You spend a huge amount of time in the home. You want a stable and calm home, particularly for children. That's really important in some kind of development and the kind of life outcomes that they might have later on. It's where we welcome our loved ones. We may even live with our loved ones in our homes. And so we're loving, we're fulfilling, we're doing really positive things in those homes, which is important to remember when actually within the changes that are needed in renting, as we've said, it can be real horror stories, can't it? So there's the flip side of it, is that when the home isn't working, when there's damp and moles, when there's the risk of being evicted at a loan notice and losing that home, those things cause serious harm to people in terms of their health, in terms of their mental health, in terms of their ability to have a stable foundation in their life, and therefore it can affect everything. It's as important as the air we breathe, almost, in where you live and your home. So being able to frame that is really important, and we're not over exaggerating that. Everyone instinctively knows it when we talk about homes, but they don't necessarily think about it when we talk about housing or we talk about the private rented sector, and we use abstract terms like that. So I think that's a really useful toolkit, as I say, and anyone that's trying to make change within renting should definitely look it up.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've definitely found it useful in my own work as well. So thank you. And also, I suppose when we're talking about change and reform, I can't not mention the Renters Reform Bill, which was the Conservatives promised in 2019 to reform private renting. And since then, back in May, we had the Renters Reform Bill published. But at the time that this podcast is being recorded, we haven't seen it since May. And so we hope that it will be passed soon. But I'd like you to maybe both explain why the bill is important and what change it will bring to the private rented sector when it does hopefully continue its progression through Parliament.
I mean, as you say, the bill's been a long time coming. It's great to have finally seen it this year. But it would represent a huge change to private renting. There hasn't been anything like it in over 30 years. And the absolutely key change is an end to no-fault eviction. So at the moment, as we've already mentioned, the landlord can evict a tenant without needing a reason, meaning people are always at risk of eviction with only 2 months' notice to find a new home. And the bill will end that ability of landlords, giving people much-needed security. But also, as you say, we haven't seen the bill for a while, and evictions are still happening every day. And we need the bill to become law as soon as possible. And we also need the bill to work for renters. So while it's a step in the right direction, we really think some areas of the bill do need changing. In particular, to replace no-fault evictions, the bill's introduced new ways for landlords to evict a tenant if they say they want to sell the property or move back in. And as it stands, those new eviction methods could very easily be abused, unfortunately, by unscrupulous landlords who pretend they're selling and moving back in without really intending to do so. And that's not only a fear. So as I mentioned, the Foundation funds research, and one of the research we've funded is into Scottish tenancy changes that happened a few years ago that were very similar to what's now being proposed in the UK. And we already know from that research that landlords in Scotland are abusing their new eviction powers much the same as we fear they might do here. So a fundamental point is that we need those loopholes in the new eviction grounds to be closed. And we think that landlords shouldn't be able to relet the property for 1 year after using those new grounds. We think landlords should have to provide proper evidence of their intention to sell or move back in. And we think, really importantly, that tenants should be allowed 2 years at the start of their tenancy without fear of those new eviction grounds being used, so tenants can really build the home.
Yeah, I completely support what Josh has said there. It's really important that if we find ourselves out of the frying pan by removing Section 21, we're not into the fire of new ways in which landlords can evict or abuse grounds for eviction in order to get tenants out of their homes. I think that's really, really important. And I think it's so frustrating to be in this place. As Rosie said, we're 4 years on, and at the time of recording, we're about 120 days on from the Parliament first introducing the law, 4 years since they promised it originally. Michael Gove, the Housing Secretary, made it a top priority. He told Generation Rent specifically that this was a top priority to get through Parliament, and yet we're still waiting. So I really hope when people are listening to this, whenever it is, that bill has made progress, and even better, within the coming months, that it's become law and they've finally banned those no-fault evictions. I'll just give you a quick example of somebody who I met with recently, who's a renter in London. Her name's Alex. She had a massive rent rise from her landlord, was asked for. It was £450 extra a month. In much of the country, just a couple of years ago, £450 a month would be the whole rent. But instead, they were whacking that on top of what she was already paying. And she said she couldn't pay it, so they evicted her. So she was kicked out within 8 weeks of her home because of that. And the thing that really struck me about talking to her about the Section 21 is that in her new home, which, you know, she'd managed to find another flat, she had to pay a bit more than she had done previously, but it was slightly less than what they'd been asking for. And she was really happy in her new home. It was a lovely place. I went to visit her, full of flowers and plants that she'd set up there. It was really felt very homely, but still hanging over her head was the idea that she now knew she could get a Section 21 notice at any moment, and she'd have to pack her bags and be out within 8 weeks again. She didn't know that before. She actually said to me she thought that renters like her, who paid their rent on time, who took really good care of the property, who got on well with their neighbours, she thought it didn't happen to people like them. She thought people only got kicked out if they'd been causing trouble for their landlord. But now that she knows, she's constantly living in a feeling of insecurity and fear around it. And that's the opposite of what rights should do. So if you know what the law is, if you know what your rights are around renting, then usually, typically, in any other area, you'd be able to feel more confident and you'd feel more comfortable because you feel protected by those laws. Because Section 21 is a legal way of kicking someone out of their own home as a landlord, because that's allowed to happen under the current system, once you know your rights, you know your lack of protections, you feel more unsafe. And that's got to be a real problem for the government to deal with. So I hope for Alex's sake and for others, for the families that every 15 minutes are being kicked out under that legislation, I hope they really deal with it as soon as possible. I'll just add a point on two other things within the Renter Reform Bill will be helpful, we hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel if they get this bill through. And they're talking about introducing, as a government, a property portal, which is basically like a register for landlords. Some people might be surprised there's never been this before, because it seems such an obvious fundamental to make sure that landlords are registered somewhere so that it's clear that they have the right to be a landlord. It's clear that they can upload certain documents that are legally required as well. This will be the first time that happens, and that could be really helpful. At the moment, there's not much detail on what will be in that portal, but we think certain things would be really, really vital. So one of them is actually making sure that you log evictions when they do happen. So if there's new ways in which landlords can evict, they need to log it on the portal in order for it to be legal. And by doing that, we can then track where these evictions are happening. We can hopefully spot, alongside local councils who might be able to enforce against this, we can spot where there's illegal evictions happening. And we can also keep a track of where grounds seem to be being abused, because the idea is if a landlord wants to sell their home, they're allowed to evict the tenant under what the new law is proposing, but they then aren't allowed to relet the property for a certain number of months. So that's really important that we can track on the portal that wasn't happening, that they weren't abusing it and deciding they'll pretend to sell that home and then relet the property to get more rent in from someone that's willing to pay more. So that's going to be really helpful as a property portal, and you can pack that with lots of things that would be useful for people like me, you, Josh, and Rosie as well, to keep holding to account the government and landlords as well. Things like what the actual cost of renting is. So what's the price that a property is being rented out at? At the moment, there's no way of accurately measuring that. So it would be really helpful if we could see that and then start to track the trends over time too. So that's one thing, is the property portal. And then there's also the ombudsman. And we don't know anything about the ombudsman, but it sounds nice. It's probably the way I'd put it. They've said there'll be an ombudsman for the private rented sector. There's already ombudsman that exists for other things, including social housing. But for private renters, again, there's never been someone to go to directly outside of the court to try and deal with disputes and complaints and issues. So if the ombudsman has the right number of powers, if they have the right resources in order to enforce those powers, then we think that that could be a really important role or an organization in which renters could have some hope that they feel someone's out there that is looking out for their interests, that's going to protect them with not their rights as they are now, because as I said, the rights now are inadequate, but with their rights as they would be if this bill is full of the right things to support renters.
Thank you so much. That's really, really helpful explanation of the Renters Reform Bill. I do just have one question though. Ben, I'm just wondering, would you say that the Rent Reform Bill or government change from coming from the government, is that the only thing that can make a difference for renters?
Absolutely not. There's loads of ways in which we can make a difference for renters. The government is really important because it makes that national change and it could, at the not quite at the drop of a hat, but at least at the passing of a bill, could make a significant difference in a sustained and long-lasting way for renters across the country, across the whole of the country. And that's really, really important to do. And it's not just the UK government who mainly makes a difference in England, but all of the devolved governments. They're all doing different things. Some things are good, some things are bad, but they need to keep renters as a priority. But beyond that, I think those that can make a difference, first and foremost, why Generation Rent exists is to empower the voices of renters ourselves. We have to believe that renters can make a difference, can help ourselves. And we do that by collectively demanding a seat at the table. Sure, we're asking for help. We're asking for the right laws, the right bare minimum of protections that will make sure that no one is left in a situation that's unbearable. But collectively, we will use that voice and we will get louder and louder and louder until the change comes as renters. So we're making that difference for ourselves. But along that journey, we're very grateful at Generation Rent for those that support us on that way. So every journalist who helps us covering the injustices that are happening in the sector, by covering how unsustainable it is and how important it is that change is achieved, we're very grateful to every journalist and media outlet that works with us on highlighting that. We're also grateful to every local council or every mayor who puts renters at the heart of their program. I think that's really important because of the powers that councils and mayors have around homes and around needing to work with every type of person in their constituency, but renters should be a core part of that. We're grateful to trade unions who we work with, who empower their workers to know their rights, not just in the workplace, but also in their homes. As far reaching as possible, making sure that people are equipped to protect themselves and have the knowledge to go where they need to go to get the right information to have support as well. So we're very grateful for that. What you might find less expected is some of the other partners that we work with that have a huge amount of influence and power over people's homes. And it's important to address that directly. So we've been working with mortgage vendors. I wrote to mortgage vendors very recently, asking them about what they're doing when landlord properties are being repossessed by the banks and by the mortgage vendors. And that's really important because when they repossess a landlord's home, obviously it's not the landlord in it most of the time, it's going to be a tenant, a renter in there. So we're trying to make sure, and we're getting some good noises back already, we're trying to make sure that renters aren't being evicted and kicked out because the landlord hasn't kept up with their mortgage payments. And that might have nothing to do with the renter whatsoever. So it's important that the renter's protected in their home when things beyond their control are happening. So we're working with mortgage vendors on that at the moment. I'd also say that we're working with landlords and letting agents who prioritise their tenants' needs, those that put the renter and their experience at the heart of what they do. We absolutely encourage that and we support it. And whenever possible, if we have examples of good practice from landlords or letting agents, then we want to celebrate that too, to make sure that even if the law is slow in changing, there's some things that people can do straight away. Any landlord, anytime, and choose to not raise the rent. They can even choose to lower the rent if they wanted to. They might have a number of reasons they don't want to make that choice, but it's important to consider that they have a choice. The renter often has no choice. That is their home. They need to stay in that home because it could be the choice between a rent rise if they can't afford, which would find them falling behind on rent and on the streets, or choosing not to pay that rent rise, and you know, being upfront and clear that they won't be able to afford it, and then finding themselves potentially on the streets as well. So there are no choices for renters. It's important that the letting agents and landlords are enabling renters to have a clearer say in what's happening, and recognizing their experience and their needs in the home. As I say again, this isn't just like any consumer market that anyone can get into to make a quick buck. It's people's homes. So those that respect that and take it very seriously, we would encourage and we'd work with them anytime.
Thank you so much, Ben. I completely agree. And thank you both so much for taking the time to come onto the podcast today. If anyone wants to find out more about both of you and the work you're doing, where can they find out this information?
Thanks, Rosie. And thanks, Ben, as well. Thanks for having me today. It's been really great to be on, and great to hear the inspirational words from Ben there at the end. It feels like everyone has a role in this movement. And I think Ben's really articulated that well. If you want to find out more about the Nationwide Foundation, you can follow us on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at NationwideFDTN. And also you can go to our website, which is nationwidefoundation.org.uk.
Great. Thanks so much, Josh, for joining us. And thanks, Rosie, for presenting so articulately. It's for Generation Rent, it's really important that we let people know their rights, as I said earlier. And so I would encourage you to visit the website if you're listening to this podcast. It's generationrent.org. And on there, go to the Know Your Rights page. And if there's anything that's happening to you as a renter, chances are you'll find some information on it there. So if the landlord's raising the rent, if you're experiencing mold issues, if you're facing an eviction, if you find that you don't have your deposit back when you feel you're entitled to it, any of those things, go on there and we'll give you some advice on your rights and what to do. If you can't find the answer, then get in touch with us as well. You can contact us through the website too, so you can reach out that way. And then one more thing, to stay in touch with us, I'd love you to be part of our mailing list. So when you go onto the website, do sign up and join the cause. And we have 50,000 people, the majority are renters, but we also have supporters from the general public as well on there. But 50,000 people across the UK that are part of our movement as Generation Rent, who we're regularly in touch with. And then you can stay up to date with what's happening and hopefully get involved in some of the more physical activities we do, where we get together, as Josh said, on days of action, where we're making sure that we're loud and proud as renters and making sure we can't be ignored as well. So please do check out the website and join the mailing list and know your rights as well.
And speaking of mailing lists, I should also make sure that I ask you to subscribe to our mailing list, which is available on the Foundation's website, and you can find out lots more about the work we do, our views, news on the private rented sector and other things, and also research that we publish.
Thank you both so much for joining us today, and thank you to everyone who's been listening. I really encourage you to check out both of those resources. There's a lot of really important work going on in this space and a lot of free resources that are really useful and should be made the most of. So I just want to thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of it. And this is our Generation Rent podcast series on renting. And so we really hope you join us for the next one.